Palm Bay, Indian Atlantic, Indian Harbor Beach, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM, and W260 CL Coco, 99.9 FM.
Hello, Space and Treasure Coast. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right here in sunny Cocoa, Florida. We are on FM 94.7, 99.9, 100.7, and we're heard on the web all over God's magnificent planet.
We are right on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends on our Facebook page. You can see all of our shows posted as well as the replays of the shows. And then on our website on www.sitamediainc.com. You can get all of those shows also on 1510wwbc.com. And that's where we're heard live. So if you're listening on your radio or some device right now, you can actually just go to 1510wwbc.com and hit that on-demand button. You'll get us live each and every Monday here at 1 o'clock.
Right. And we sit down here every Monday, and it's almost like this is a mortgage payment for me. We rent this little studio, and we speak to our listeners, to each other, Ellen, myself, and Samantha. Thank you, Ellen and Samantha, for being part of Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. And we talk about things, kitchen table topics, things that are going on here and around the nation. And we always address issues that we hear our friends and families talking about. We talk about things like education and equality and opportunities and healthcare and things like that. And I always find really quality guests to call in. So today's no different. We have a guest who's calling in. His name is Sunil Mehta. Is that him? Is he on the phone? He's going to be his. I found him on one of my Facebook group chats during the elections. And he's with a group called They See Blue. It's a nonprofit. He's going to be chatting with us today about economic growth, income inequality, justice, voting, jobs. He's going to try to call in, and he also has someone else calling in with him. So while we try to get that set up, let's just, Ellen, we have a segment that we have two people in the studio with us, two good friends. We have Dr. Paulette Howell and Jeanette Thompson. I should remember that. And they did something that I've been talking about for a long time. They opened a nursing school, and being an LPN and watching so many people who want to do the LPN to RN transition program, and so many nursing assistants that want to go back to school, and so many people that want to go back to school, I applaud you. So welcome to our show.
Thank you very much.
This is just awesome that you guys did that. Ellen, I'm not sure what's going on. Is Sunil still on the phone? Oh, Sunil, you're on the phone. I thought you were.
Sharmila with me. Sharmila, are you there?
Yeah, I'm from Florida.
Oh, I thought, for some reason, I thought you were trying to get Sharmila onto the call, but I'm glad she said, hey, my aunt's name is Sharmila.
Cool.
My mother's sister, my favorite aunt. So I'm so glad you guys are taking the time to call in. I went on your website this morning, and I read a little bit about all the good works your nonprofit is doing. And it just warms my heart because, you know, being of Indian descent myself, I always remember our parents telling us about, you know, you have to go to school and become a doctor or a lawyer or an engineer or open a business. And all of a sudden, you guys are saying, wait a second, the children could get involved in politics as well. So thank you.
Yeah, that's great. It's a pleasure. Actually, it's very important, like you said.
Right. And so tell us a little bit about you guys and your organization and what you do.
Okay, so I can start by talking a little bit about myself, and then Sharmila can go next, and then we can talk about the organization after that.
Okay.
So I grew up in India doing my undergraduate at IIT Bombay, like many other people in the U.S., and then I came to the U.S. for grad school in 1980. And after I finished my graduate studies at Penn State and MIT, I moved to Silicon Valley in 1984 for my first job. And that's where I've been ever since. So I'm a stereotypical, you know, desi techie, like you said, Sita, that I followed the kind of the beaten path. And until 4 years ago, getting into political activism was the last thing on my mind.
I think all of us get to that point where we some of us say, well, we're not getting involved. But something happened
exactly,
for you guys to say, I am
something
going to get involved. Yes.
Yeah. So I actually, in fact, the other interesting thing is I was an independent and not registered with either of the two major political parties. But again, the election of 2016 changed all that. And we'll talk more about that later. Yeah. So I'll let Sharmila introduce herself.
Okay, Sharmila, you're here in Florida, you said?
Yeah. Thank you for having us on your show. I live in the Orlando area. Like Sunila, I grew up in India, Mumbai. My husband and I moved here in 1987. It was such a different country then. We came to Philadelphia, then we came to Florida in 95, and we have been in the Orlando area since 2006. I practice as a CPA, and politically, I'm actually registered as an independent. And I was, again, one of those that did not even bother to vote until 2004 or 2008, I think, because it was like, how does this affect me? Until I realized differently.
Yes. I think when we have children and grandchildren as well, and we desire to leave a better footprint on the earth, when the good Lord takes
exactly.
us home, we start thinking differently. So Sunil, what inspired you all to form TSB?
Okay. So first of all, I'd like to explain the name. TSB is short for They See Blue, the English word They See Blue. So it's actually a play on words. It actually means They See Blue. And like most of us know, They See means a South Asian, somebody from the Indian subcontinent. So anyway, to get back to why we started They See Blue, I can start with a personal kind of angle, and then we can talk about the organization. So like many others, I was totally stunned by the results of the 2016 election. And it took me nearly a year to come to terms with it, that something like this could happen in, you know, a country like ours. Then I realized that part of the reason that it happened is that many people like me did not get involved at all in politics. They stayed out of it. And that's when I decided that staying on the sidelines was no longer an option. So I realized that restoring our democracy cannot be done by armchair advocacy, but it would take boots on the ground. So my first step was to learn the mechanics of grassroots activism. And I did that by joining a couple of groups that had come into being right after the election, the 2016 election also, Swing Left and Indivisible. So I learned quite a bit from working with them for about 9 months. And then I got together with three like-minded friends who had each followed their own path towards political activism. And we decided to start a group to replicate that same model as Swing Left, for example, but to mobilize like-minded South Asians in Silicon Valley so they could get involved in political activism. So again, we decided to call our group Desi Blue to signify that we are a group of Desis or South Asians working on electing Democrats.
Love it. I love it.
Yeah, it was actually quite a clever name. And in fact, the name itself attracts a lot of people to take a look at us. And when they see what we do, they're really quite, interested in joining us. So anyway, in 2018, we were quite small. We had only actually 3 months from the time we were founded to the midterm elections. So we were only in the San Francisco Bay Area at the time, and we had a simple goal, flip the House. So we knew the Republican Party has gone off the rails after Trump came to power, and we needed to work to contain the damage they were doing to our democracy, because we knew the Senate was a long shot. But flipping the House was definitely doable, so that's what we focused on. So we selected three Republican-held seats in California's Central Valley, and our goal was to increase the voter turnout among the South Asians who lived in these districts. So our methods of getting out the vote included live canvassing, phone banking, text banking, mailing flyers, fundraising for the candidates, and even radio ads. So in the end, we helped flip two of these three seats to Democratic, and we were quite gratified with our success. So for 2020, we tried to build on our success by replicating this same model and scaling it to the national level by establishing chapters in over 20 swing states, including Florida. And again, our strategy turned out to be extremely effective, and we believe we played an important role in turning out the South Asian vote, which helped the Democrats win back the presidency and take back control of the Senate.
Yeah, I saw you guys were very active in Georgia as well, with helping Stacey Abrams for John Ossoff and Reverend Warnock. And I thank you for that as well, because we're all reaping the rewards of those two great men that were elected. So, Shamila, tell me a little bit about the Florida chapter, because to be honest with you, I didn't put the two together with the Desi and the English they see, and now I just did. I'm like, and I'm a Desi girl. So tell me about the Florida chapter and what goals do you see? What are your goals and your approaches for the future?
Right. So the Florida chapter is basically a chapter of national DC blue. Just like the national chapter, the mission of the organization is to encourage South Asians to vote and to vote for a blue or a Democratic platform, because it's our belief that the goals of the Democratic platform closely align with what the South Asian community, you know, would want to see advanced in this country. So having said that, we started the Florida chapter in the spring or the summer of 2020, before the elections. Our activities mirror those of the national organization, which means we conducted voter registration drives, we conduct drives to sign people on to vote by mail, especially during the pandemic. And then finally, we call people to remind them that they need to submit their vote or go and vote at the polling booth. We could not do physical activities last year or in-person canvassing, but which we hope to do in the future. But I think we had some, you know, we like to think we have some successes. We are in Seminole County and Orange County here. And Seminole County, I think, turned blue for the very first time in the last election, which it had not before at the local level. So we're kind of hopeful that, you know, we helped a little get to that point. In terms of our goals, our immediate goals are to try and increase the visibility of the Florida chapter in Florida, to have more people be engaged from South and West Florida, because currently the chapter is heavily focused in Central Florida, where we live. So the idea is to get the word out more and to recruit more people. We also, there are a few things, challenges that we encounter as we get through this. We encounter people who have, there's a lot of voter apathy.
Well, that happens in the Caribbean community as well, Shamila. You know, I was born in Trinidad and Tobago, and it is terrible that people come to this great country, you know, where if you take the opportunities offered and the education and the mentoring and you listen and you learn and you want to get ahead, you can. And there's so many Trinidadians who are begging to come to America with degrees that can't find work, or India. And so you're right. People, some want to vote and run, and some doesn't want to vote at all. Right. And then some wants to complain when others lift the heavy work for them. And I think you're right. I mean, we have a lot of apathy, and we have a lot of people that need to get off their bums and vote.
And honestly, I was one of those two. I didn't really get involved in politics, and I didn't even vote until it was 2004 or 2008. But then I started to realize, Sita, that politics, as much as we think doesn't affect us, actually impacts every important aspect of our lives, okay? So this morning on CNN, front page, it says, some hospital system is suing 19,000 patients for fees during the pandemic. This does not happen in any other country, okay? This happens because in a country like ours, our healthcare system is so messed up, there are so many limitations on what the government can or cannot do, that this problem has not been fixed. And people, I mean, health costs are one of the primary reasons for bankruptcy in this country. All of this can be fixed with the right government at the top or at the local level. And that's why voting is so important, because we cannot complain about healthcare costs. We cannot complain about gun control unless we get involved and elect the right people into power.
Well, it's about people caring, right? It's about people having compassion. That when you wake up in the morning, if you have breakfast on your table, if you had a warm bed to sleep in, if you have a job, if you have ways of paying your car insurance and your mortgages and sending your kids to school and better in your life, then everybody else should have that opportunity as well. And I think when you vote for the right people who are like-minded, then you can accomplish those.
Exactly, because we can't just complain. We have to get involved. And the other issue that we have is reflexive voting. So people will vote Republican just because they've always done that in the past, or Democrats because they've just done that in the past. Now, the GOP platform has changed tremendously over the years. It used to be the party of fiscal discipline, and I used to support that. But, you know, in recent years, the GOP has gone so far away from being what it used to be, you know, the party of fiscal responsibility, the party of personal responsibility, et cetera. Now it's literally, I mean, honestly, it's like the cult of Trump. And so people need to be educated and realize that the party that they may once have voted for because of the platform it used to have, that platform is no longer there. And so they need to not reflexively vote as they used to, but pay attention to what the policy platform is and then vote accordingly. To make sure that the policies that they want are the policies that they get.
It's almost as if it's a culture war party. Like people, it's a cultural war going on in the country right now. And I think you're right. They moved away from fiscal responsibility and personal responsibility. Because this morning we heard that President Biden's plan to have each child receive $300 a month starting July 15, which will affect roughly 39 million American households. There was so much hatred on social media this morning for these children. And it's like, why? The children are born and they're here and their parents are not making enough to make ends meet. So why are you hating on the kids? If it's going to help the parents to pay a bill or get a better place to live or maybe go back to school, hopefully nursing school right here in Cocoa, Florida. Why not? You know? So anyway, so I think you hit it on the head. We have to get involved.
Shamila, this is Samantha. Hi. I have a question for you. Currently, what's the status of the chapter and how many members do you have here in Florida?
We have about 150 members and which are mostly in Central Florida. We want to grow that as much as we can. Our leadership committee is also rather slim. So what we're really looking for are engaged volunteers. We encourage people to go to theyseeblue.com, theyseeblue.com, and go to the join option, and please join the group. Or you can send us an email if you have any questions at tsbflorida@gmail.com. At P for Thomas, S for Sam, B for Boy, Florida@gmail.com, and we will respond to any queries that you may have.
That's awesome. So, Sunil, let's talk about national issues, political integrity, economic growth, income inequality, justice, and fairness. Well, I know a lot of people that are bellyaching about the $15 an hour wage, but the truth is people can't even survive on that. So tell us, what is TSB doing to help to in this category to do something about this? What is your take on that?
Yeah, so actually, even though all these issues are extremely important, we realized that rather than working on each of them individually, which is pretty difficult to sway, you know, I mean, as we just said, the Republican Party has completely gone off the rails. So we believe the best way to make things happen that we want is by electing the right people into office. Okay, so there are many issues that we just talked about. So the first issue is, as you said, integrity and honor, right? So there used to be a time, I mean, you know, we never expected, huge amount of integrity and honor from politicians, but there was kind of a minimum bar, and that bar has pretty much kind of been shattered. So as an engineer, you know, I'm particularly offended by the Republican Party's utter disregard for truth and science, okay? So we have just seen recently, for example, in the last few months, that facts no longer matter in the Republican Party. Now the litmus test for being a Republican in good standing is supporting the big lie that Trump won the election, the last election. So another very important example is their complete denial of man-made climate change. You know, it's a fact which is universally accepted by almost 100% of scientists. So if we can't even agree on what is truth and what is a lie, then how can we have, you know, talk about solving these problems, right? So this is exactly the reason that independents like myself can no longer, you know, consider voting Republican, no matter how moderate any particular candidate may appear on the surface. I mean, the party has become a, I would say, dishonorable party. So the next issue is the economy. Okay, so it's a very common myth that Republicans are better for the economy than Democrats, when the record is exactly the opposite. So this is what Sharmila was saying earlier, reflexive voting, right? Many people assume Republicans are better for the economy, they're better for tax, for their taxes, their personal taxes, when it's exactly the opposite. When the economy is doing badly, then no matter what your tax rate is, you're doing much worse, okay? So in the look at the record of the last 30 years. We have had three recessions under three Republican presidents, okay? Each of whom left the mess for the Democratic successors to clean up, okay? That's the record. I mean, this is, you know, again, we're talking about facts. So any economist will tell you that the best way to grow the economy is by growing the middle class. And the Republicans, you know, basically do exactly the opposite when they come to power. They give handouts to corporations and the ultra-rich, and they increase income inequality, which is bad for the economy. The one thing they keep pushing is the idea of trickle-down economics, okay? It has been discredited time and time again, but they keep pushing it, okay? So the bottom line is that unless you are in the top 0.1% of the population, some big gun in the corporate world, voting Republican is bad for your pocketbook, and voting Democratic is the right thing to do.
Yeah. Well, you know, and also we have like 4 minutes left, according to what Paul is telling me here. So let's talk a little bit about justice and fairness, because I think you're absolutely correct. But in order for people on the top, the 1%, to actually show us that trickle-down economics work, people have to actually care, right? Unless you have a society that care about each and every one of us, no matter what our race, religion, class, or political affiliation is, it's not going to work. And so the foundation for everything starts in our home. For everything you just talked about, from, you know, income inequality, having a job, fairness, justice, it all starts right there in our home. Unless parents and elders and people in a community are willing to take that leap of faith and teach the young ones that, it's not going to happen. And I don't think a lot of people do that, because people go to church or temple or synagogue or mosque or wherever they worship on a Sunday, and Monday morning they're back to square one doing what they think is right, when it really is not. In a lot of cases, you see people who lie and cheat and scheme, and they say it's okay. So I'm not sure how we could fix that, Sunil, but talk to us a little bit about justice and fairness.
Yeah, so that's a very important point, actually, which is very relevant to Florida. So basically, here's the problem. The Republicans have realized that they cannot win elections fair and square anymore, because they cannot win on a single issue. You know, they're on the wrong side of every single issue. So what do they want to do? They want to cheat, right? So that's why there's a spate of voter suppression laws all across the country in Republican-held states, particularly in Florida, making it more difficult for people of color to vote, okay? So the integrity of American democracy, you know, and the institutions, which is why most of us came to this country, right? We love that. They have never been under more serious threat, okay? So I'll let Sharmila talk more about some of the voter suppression happening in Florida.
Yeah, I think, Sharmila, we have 2 minutes, maybe two and a half to three, so go for it.
No worries. I covered before. So voter suppression, yes, as Sharmila said, is definitely an issue in Florida. Just last week, as you probably know, Governor DeSantis signed into law a bill that makes voting in the state more restrictive. So now we have lesser times for ballot boxes. We need to show more voter identification. There are more restrictions on voting by mail, etc. And pretty much of this has been designed in order to reduce or suppress the vote of minorities and people of color. I mean, the government here does not really listen to the will of the people, even though it's a democracy. You remember 2 years ago, 64% of Florida voted to restore voting rights to felons, right? Yet the Republican governor, the Republican legislature has caused a situation such that most felons are still not able to vote.
Yeah, so, Desmond Mead was on our show. I remember Mr. Desmond Mead came on our show and talked about the restoration of rights, yes. And we were all delighted when that made the ballot.
Exactly. So this is the Republicans completely overriding the will of the people. I mean, this is why the government needs to change. This is why we need to vote. And getting, as Sunil appropriately said, the right people to vote. There's one final message. I know we're running out of time. I know most Indian Americans, most South Asians think that we are very insulated from the culture wars or what have you, because it's focused on, you know, maybe the African American community or what have you. But we know that culture of, you know, ethnic hatred will now spread into the Asian American, the Chinese American community. There have been many assaults on them. And I just want everyone, you know, we also need to be aware that we are seen as a minority in this country. So it's important for us that this emerging tide of white supremacy not be given much oxygen. And the way to do that is that we vote for the party that actually is not promoting it, which is the Party of Democrats.
Yeah. Well, you know, you hit, you know, you and Sunil talk about, I wish I could talk about more stuff with you, but you know, our culture itself is one of where, and this is a whole different topic. We had a girl call in a few months ago to talk about the skin color issues in India and how that affected us Desi women and men as well. And one day I'd like for you guys to call back in and talk about that, because that is one of the reasons why I think even our town here, Brevard County, Florida, a lot of the Indian people here, Desis, and they are registered as Republicans, because it has become a status thing. It has become like an ego that if you have a lot of money and if you have a business and if you're a physician or you own an engineering firm, you vote Republican because it's associated with money. And we'd like to bust up that myth, because it's not all about money. We have to care about human being on this planet.
The Republicans are actually promoting themselves nowadays as the party of the blue class working folks. You know? So, hey, go figure.
Right. So, Sunil, give us the website one more time if a person is listening and they would like to become a volunteer or contribute monetarily or get involved with TSB.
Yeah, so anyway, I can do that. So first of all, thank you very much for inviting us. It was a pleasure to talk to you. Yeah, so we would love for people of, you know, all kinds of South Asians to join us. And this includes people from the Caribbean as well, along with people from India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, Sri Lanka, Nepal, etc. Okay, so the website is theyseeblue.com. And when you go to the website, on the upper right, you'll see a join button. And when you click on the join button, there's a small form that you can fill out. And when you fill out that form and submit it, we'll get the information about you and we'll contact you.
So awesome.
We'd love to have many people from Florida join our organization.
Shamila, and we have all of that information posted.
Shamila, I'll catch up with you after the show. I'll send you an email.
And we have all of that information posted on our Facebook page. And it will also be posted on our CETA Media Inc. website. But we do have to take a quick break and listen to our sponsors. We'll be right back with Viewpoint with CETA and Friends right after this message.
Portions of Viewpoint with CETA and Friends is sponsored by the friends and family of CETA McGee, author of 18 Brothers and Sisters and founder of Simply CETA Skincare, and these great sponsors. Cloud9 Mattress and Furniture is a family-owned furniture dealer featuring the best and most affordable brands. They offer all servicing for free. Delivery, setup, and home, removal of old furniture, and warranty. Work with a reputable and experienced local business as they strive for excellence with their customers. Scotty's been in the mattress and furniture business for 32 years. You can shop online, call, or stop into the showroom to place an order. They are conveniently located inside the Merritt Square Mall and service all of Brevard County in Central Florida. Super savings sale happening now. That's Cloud9 Mattress and Furniture, 321-459-2473. Visit them on the web at Cloud9, that's Cloud9, furniture.com. Again, 321-459-2473 for Cloud9 Mattress and Furniture. When you need medical care and need it fast, MedFast Urgent Care is faster and less expensive than emergency rooms. MedFast is open 7 days a week, now with 13 locations, including one in Volusia County. With so many MedFast Urgent Care centers, there is a MedFast near you. MedFast offers top quality care that is close by, and the number is easy to remember. That is 321-MEDFAST. You just call 321-MEDFAST. No one wants to wait in an emergency room for hours and get even sicker when you get the high bill. What you want is medical care fast. That's why you call MedFast, where most patients are seen and treated in less than an hour. So when you need medical care fast, call 321-MEDFAST. MedFast. Champion Home Healthcare, keeping your loved one happy, healthy, and at home. Available at 321-306-2551. Once again, 321-306-2551. Champion Home Healthcare is ACHC accredited and licensed, Medicare certified, and a TRICARE provider. Champion Home Healthcare, 306-2551.
There's something special about the place we call home. It's the place we live our lives, spend time with family and friends, and make our own. At St. Francis Reflections Hospice, we consider it a privilege to care for you wherever your home may be. We put our hands, hearts, and skills into providing high-quality hospice care in your home. To learn more about how we reflect life, love, and compassion, visit www.reflectionslsc.org.
Jotkoff Financial Group is a certified public accounting and a registered investment advisory firm with over 30 years of productive relationships with clients. Jotkoff Financial Group can assist you in meeting your accounting, tax, and business consulting and financial planning and insurance needs without expanding your internal workforce. With three locations here in Florida, here in Brevard County, Broward County, and Nassau County, contact Jotkoff Financial Group here in Brevard at 321-984-7345, located at 1122 South Wickham Road in Melbourne. That's Jotkoff Financial Group. On the web, you'll find them at www.jotkoff, that's JOTKOFF.com. Call the professionals at Jotkoff Financial Group today.
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. And what a wonderful first segment, Miss Ellen.
Yes, we did.
Sunil Mehta and Sharmila.
They see blue. So all of that information is posted from our show, from the first segment here on our Facebook page. And it will be soon posted on SitaMediaInc.com.
Great. We'll separate the segments so
absolutely.
Dr.
Yep.
Paulette Howell and Miss Jeanette Thompson can have their show. So a second half, you know, there are some people in life like, or Vice President Kamala Harris said, her mom said to her, don't complain, do something. And so when I saw on Facebook that one of my good friends was going to be an instructor at a new school, I looked it up. I'm like, what? This is awesome. And so I invited Dr. Paulette Howell and Ms. Jeanette Thompson with Educare and Vision College of Nursing right here. Where are you guys located? Is it in Melbourne?
We are located in Melbourne. At 305 East Drive.
They are okay. I'm going to let them tell us, Ellen, a little bit about themselves and why they decided to open this school. So let's go first with Ms. Jeanette Thompson. Tell us a little bit about Educare and Vision College of Nursing and what made you decide to open your own nursing school.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Jeanette Thompson. I've been a nurse for 30 years. And being a nurse for 30 years, mostly all of my nursing life, there has been a shortage in nursing. And there still is a shortage in nursing. But primarily, there is definitely a shortage in minority nurses. According to the National Council, State Board of Nurses, only 19.2% of the RN workforce is minority nurses, comprised of minority nurses, 6.2 African American, 7.5 Asian, 5.3 Hispanic, 0.4 American Indian, and all other representations are lower than that.
Why do you think we have such a low number?
Well, go ahead, Dr. Howell.
Well, I think there are multiple reasons, and good afternoon. I'm Paulette Howell.
Yes.
It's good to be here. There are multiple reasons why we see this diversity where it just isn't enough. And we know that diversity in healthcare is important because our patients are diverse, and they want to see someone that's taking care of them that looks like them or sounds like them or going to understand what their experience is. But when someone decides that they want to be a nurse, they're looking to see, well, is there someone there that is like me that I can do it? Do I have a mentor? Is there someone that I can look and say, yes, if they could do it, I could do it also? And because we have such a low already percentage of diversity in nurses, it doesn't attract that type of nurse. It doesn't attract that potential nurse into the nursing field.
Right. It's a cultural thing, too.
Yes, it is. Just one of the reasons.
Yes, you feel good when you're laying in that hospital bed and you see someone that will understand your food and maybe a word or two, like a slang. Like, you know, I know when my mom was here in the United States, she had to have her endocarditis. And when she saw Dr. Gododia, right away she goes, "Hello, son." It made her feel good, you know. And then he said, you know, and so she had developed a rapport with him right away.
Right.
And so she felt comfortable laying in that bed. And I like what you guys are doing because you're hoping that by opening the school, you could attract more people to go into nursing, which
absolutely.
We need.
Absolutely.
We need it.
Right.
We absolutely need
So you had a question about the cost. Go ahead.
Yes, ladies. I wanted to know if... can people use FAFSA for your school? Is it private loans? Can they get scholarships, community-based scholarships that you ladies would accept? And more or less, what would the cost of the entire program be at the end? Because a lot of times with our communities, it's cost. Cost is number one. I don't want to be in debt. I don't want to owe money. So I was wondering what that looks like at your school.
Okay, so at our school, we have several programs. The nursing programs that we have an LPN program. We have an LPN to RN program, and we have a traditional RN program. These are associate degree in nursing programs. The cost of the LPN program is approximately $11,135.
That's amazing.
Yes. The cost of the associate degree program is $16,135. And the transition program, which we call it a transition, it's transition from LPN to RN, that program is $14,135. And the programs are really, I want to say they are, we try to keep the tuition as reasonable as we can because we know that there are people out there who have their LPN who want to be nurses, who are out there working as CNAs, they want to level up and they want to be nurses. We know that they're there, but costs can often be prohibitive. We are currently are a private school. We do not offer financial aid, but we do offer payment plans and there are scholarships available for some of our students if they apply. You know, many times people have a tuition reimbursement at their places of business, and we offer payment plans because we know that it is challenging for someone who's out there working, who wants to be a nurse, and the cost of it can get in the way. So we try to keep it as reasonable as we can.
And let's say, doctor, we have a single mom that wants to go. She's got one. She wants to actually go through and finish everything. Is the school flexible hour-wise?
Well, the hours are very flexible. We like to make it as user-friendly as possible. So the classes are in the evenings, generally either Thursday or Friday evening, and the clinicals are usually on the weekend.
And that is for our professional nurse program.
For our professional nurse program.
You know what I like about your school, too? A lot of the nurses want to have courses for IV certification. Mm-hmm. They want to have professional development. And you're offering all of that as well. So talk a little bit about some of the other programs that you offer besides the RN to LPN or the LPN Bridge program.
Okay, so we have our IV therapy, 30 hours of IV therapy certification. We offer that for LPNs, and we also offer that for RNs as well. Sometimes if the RN is out of practice for a while, they will need to have some refresher skills there, so we offer that program as well for RNs. But for LPNs, it's a 30-hour program. It's mainly online, and you have to complete the online portion, and then you come in for your skill portion of that. And that is very reasonable at $250.
Yes.
And then we also have our TEAS Prep Program or TEAS Academy. That's where we assist the students in refreshing for the TEAS test to get into the nursing program.
Yes, and that's any nursing program. Most nursing programs require a TEAS, but there are very few TEAS preparation programs available, especially within our county.
Yes, and that includes math, science, English, and language. Language and
reading.
Excuse me, and reading. That course is taught by other professionals besides ourselves that has specialties in that area. So that will also help students to prepare for the TEAS test and also the HESI entrance test as well. Some schools offer HESI entrance tests. We offer the TEAS entrance test. We also have talk a little bit more about our LPN program, which is one of my first loves because I was the LPN for 10 years. And so the LPN program is Monday through Thursday, 4 p.m. to 10 p.m. And the clinicals is included within that time, 4 p.m. to 10 p.m. And that program is just a little bit less than 1 year. Sometimes we find that students do not have all of their prerequisites for the RN program, or they could be the CNA that have not been to school for a while and want to level up. The LPN program is a great program for those.
Right, and people do get frustrated if they don't have the prereqs. Sometimes
Absolutely.
They get more fearful of getting mm-hmm. the prereqs than the actual program.
But you know, in this county, that's not really the issue. In this county, there are many people that have all the prerequisites yes. For the nursing programs. But however, another reason why we started the program is that it's just not enough space.
Yeah, they can't
get
in.
They cannot get in.
They're on a waiting list yes. for years.
Yes,
but
literally.
What I love about both of you, Dr. Howell and Jeanette Thompson, is that you guys believe in the power of opportunities and education.
Absolutely.
And that is your driving force to help other people to become nurses, right?
Yes.
And what do we do as nurses? We're compassionate. Mm-hmm. I mean, we care about the community. We want to make sure that we give our patients the utmost best. And we all have that in us. We just need somebody to bring it out. So how can we help you all in our community and elsewhere? Because I'm sure people can move down to Florida to just attend school. How can we help you to get more referrals to your school? What else can we do on Viewpoint with CETA and Friends to help educational services?
Well, we appreciate even just having the information put out there. We are still a new school, but we have great passion for what we're doing. And so people don't often know who we are. We are, of course, on the State Board of Nursing website. We're out there. We're doing our thing. But people just don't know. So the more exposure our schools have, the better. Certainly, we are about compassion. My friend, Ms. Thompson, and I, we met as nurses on the floor almost 20 years ago. and we just flow together. Nurses, most of our friends are nurses. And so, you know, we really do believe in what we're doing. So by word of mouth, we seek out, we see people, we meet people all the time that just are looking for a way, oh, I couldn't get into this program, I couldn't get into that program, but I really want to be a nurse. We say, don't give up. Don't give up. Just come. Let's take a look at it. Let's see what we can do to facilitate that.
Right. And nurses do make a difference.
Oh, yes.
And,
yes.
We make a difference. So it's not like we're sitting at a computer desk all day. We're actually up doing stuff, changing wounds, bandages, learning about, you know.
People come to hospitals for nursing care. They can do their doctor visits, outpatients. They can do any test, outpatients. If they come into a hospital, they need nursing care. So nurses are moving. I say nursing is a verb. We're moving all the time.
Right.
And keep in mind, too,
You always have a job.
Yes,
no matter what state you go in, you have a job.
And the business side of this is if you're sitting back saying, wow, somebody opened up a nursing school, this was a huge feat. This is not
this is not
a simple process to just open up a school that's accredited and that has the type of programs that you have, and to get the skilled teachers as well, the educators to come in. So I commend both of you ladies, because I know, you know, firsthand a little bit about the startup part of it and what you went through in order to get this. So I mean that part of it is a huge thank you from the community and
the people that need it. And, you know, every day we learn something new, right?
Absolutely.
So how did you two, Jeanette and Paula, sit down one day and say, you know what, this is it. We're done. We're going to open our own school. What happened for that aha moment that you said we're going to do it? Because, you know, we all have dreams, right? But a lot of people don't follow up on them.
Yeah. Well, you know, it never was like, okay, we're just going to open up a nursing school. No. But one of the things that we did, and a mentor of mine asked me to mentor another person to help them to pass their state boards. And so I said, well, okay, and this person was in dire need, needed to pass her state boards right away, only had like, what, 6 weeks. Mm-hmm. So in my home, in my office, right beside me, this young lady and I, we would discuss. I mean, she couldn't even move a decimal point three places to the right. So I worked with her intensely. Then I asked Dr. Howell to help me with it and, you know, to give the review after I get finished with her. And so we just started having too many people.
Too many people in the living room.
Too many people. And so we got this little office off of Palm Bay Road. And, you know, one thing led to another. Mm-hmm. So we decided to petition the Florida Board of Nursing for their state-required remedial course.
Yes.
And so in order to have a remedial course, you have to have clinical affiliates. And so since we're known in the community, you know, we were formerly employed with Eastern Florida. So we're known with community work. We worked at formerly known as Wusthof Healthcare. Mm-hmm. We have affiliations with Health First. And so we was able to obtain the affiliation agreements that we needed for that nurse remedial course. And that's when the aha moment happened. Mm-hmm. Well, that's the hardest part.
Yeah.
Most people cannot get the affiliation agreements.
Well, but you know what I'm hearing is that the people in the community trust you and respected you.
Absolutely.
We knew what we were getting. But how did you come up with the name Educare Envision College of Nursing?
Well, I am Educare. I am educating healthcare professions, Educare.
Nice.
Right.
My partner is Envision. We both had our own independent business. And Envision was working with diabetic education, educating patients how to take care of themselves with diabetes.
Absolutely.
So when we came together, we became Educare Envision Educational right. Services and then Educare Envision College of Nursing.
Great minds. Yes. Great minds. So for the listeners who are just tuning in, we're talking about a brand new nursing school. How long have you been in business?
We've been in business
about
since
3 years now?
About 3 years now. But our nursing school was approved last February.
Yeah, so it's still new, Ellen, right? Mm-hmm. By business standards, that's still new, right?
Yes.
So we're speaking.
And let's open up something in the middle of COVID,
yes,
right?
Right.
I mean, like.
So once again, kudos to you ladies for making it through the first.
Yes.
Well, I tell you what, you can make it through that. You can make it through it. You got a 100% success rate.
Right,
of
exactly.
Making it through stuff that the world throws at you.
We knew Z was there.
And yeah, a big thank absolutely. You, ladies, because I have a son with a bleeding disorder. And like you said, that IV course alone is amazing because I've seen people be like, no, I'm not going to touch them just because they don't know what they're doing.
Yeah. Right.
So the fact that even though they may be a nurse who just been out of work for a while and you guys can reteach them is amazing. Mm-hmm. And from behalf of the bleeding disorder community, I want to thank you, ladies, for what you're doing.
It is our pleasure.
You're welcome. And, so you know, it's some good things that did come out of COVID.
Yeah, so for our listeners who are tuning in, we're speaking with Dr. Paulette Howell and Ms. Jeanette Thompson. They have a school here in Brevard. It's called Educare Envision College of Nursing. And for all the people who are wondering what their next move to should be post-COVID, become a nurse. We need nurses. We need nursing assistants. We need healthcare workers. Most importantly, though, there are a lot of LPNs and RNs who need to retire, want to retire, and they need you young people to carry the mantle. And so what I like about you guys is not only you believe in the power of change and education, but you believe that every human being is valuable.
Absolutely.
Whether they're laying in that bed or whether they administer and care. Mm-hmm. So you were just about to say about the time it took you to open the school, and we think it's pretty new. And Ellen thanked you for opening it during COVID.
Mm-hmm.
What else do we have to add to that?
Well, you know, some good things came out of COVID. One good thing came out of COVID is now everyone knows that nurses work hard.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, we're not sitting at the nursing station and just looking at our iPod, listening at music mm-hmm. on Facebook. Like some people actually thought that nurses really did not do that much. And also what came out of COVID is hardworking people. And the students that we had at our school or have currently at our school, during COVID, it was just a few. We had 3 LPN students, which we graduated last month.
Congratulations.
Yes.
You had a letter, right?
So
my friend Aletta went to your school, I think.
Yes.
Aletta Curry? Yes, she did. I think I saw her testimonial on your media website.
Yes, I worked with her.
She's awesome.
Yes, and we have five transition students, LP and RN, which will graduate next month.
Awesome. Yeah.
And so those students work very hard in a non-traditional environment during COVID. And I believe that they would just do well in the nursing field. So if you want to be a nurse, this is a perfect time to do it.
Mm-hmm. Come on down and see us.
Yes. And it's your ticket to potential employment for life.
For life.
I mean, there's, and the thing, what I like about nursing, too, it's flexible work schedules, a variety of work environments, mm-hmm. competitive salary, a job that makes a difference, active and exciting work, professional development opportunities, and a lot of people don't notice, but like I went to school for nursing and I love the nursing homes. I am a nursing home nurse. I just love to make them laugh. I like to show them my pictures. I talk about my life and I learn about their lives as well. But there are so many different areas that people can work in. You in surgical nursing, in the hospital, in ALFs, mm-hmm. where else?
Nursing. Right? I say anytime Absolutely. You look at a building, there's a nurse in there.
School
Any
nurse.
Institution you go to, there's a nurse there. I worked as a nurse for an airline where we traveled and we brought nursing care to different parts of the world. There's just always a nurse there. And so the opportunities are vast. I could call it the doorway profession. Once you go through there, it's unlimited what you could do with your nursing.
And then much like what you both did, you worked on the floor and now you're educators.
Yes.
You know, now you've moved past that part of it and another opportunity is opened.
Yes.
You do something
yes.
completely
with your nurses. Like we have our hemo nurse and she's been our nurse for 16 years sure, and I wouldn't absolutely. Give her up for anything in the mm-hmm. world.
Yes.
When
yeah.
you have your specialty illnesses like that, you yes. grow a bond with that. That nurse mm-hmm. is your lifeline.
That's right.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
And the truth is, you know, once you put your nursing uniform on, you bring with you the respect and dignity of that job to whichever specialty you choose.
Yes.
We have people who are doing emergency nursing on airplanes, on cruise ships.
Mm-hmm.
We have nurses
go.
Who are now Everywhere. Traveling nursing. The
oh,
opportunities
yes.
are there, especially if you're single and free and disengaged and you want to go all over the country, you can.
You
can make $47 an hour in ICU in some hospitals.
Oh, yes.
There is money in nursing.
$90.
Oh, my God. I met a nurse recently. She works two jobs,
mm-hmm.
40 hours a week, and she just paid down on a house, a $650,000 home, and she was able to pay 20% down from her nursing job. Mm-hmm. And she can mm-hmm. make that payment easy as an RN working mm-hmm. ICU. Mm-hmm. Easy.
Yes.
So I think for the people who are listening, you probably don't know it, but it is a stable job. You just do your part.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so what are we doing about keeping up the CEUs? Do you help them with that as well?
Well, we are a CEU provider, but that's not our focus right now.
Yeah.
With CEUs, but whenever they graduate from us, they do graduate with some CEUs.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you are someone out there that cannot pass your boards, we have the remedial program. So if you've been to a school and you cannot pass your nursing boards, we do have people that come to us specifically for our remedial course, which is 6 weeks, 2 days a week, 6 weeks. And we have had great success with that. And we have a med-surg section there in which you can get CEUs for that.
So, Dr. Howell, for the people who are sitting on the fence
mm-hmm.
and they want to do something different,
mm-hmm.
they've been laid off, COVID came and hit them like a rock, and they need something to do, what's your 30-second blurb to say to that person, come into this program, get a job, and let's do it?
No matter what you want to do, you can find it in nursing. No matter what area you want, you can find it in nursing. You can do with nursing education. You can do nursing as a personal business. You can do nursing, whatever you want.
Informatics.
Whatever you want, you can do with nursing. So we say if you just want, all you have to do is have a desire in your heart and a few of those, the prereqs that we require. We say, come on down, let's take a look at it. Let's help you to start your journey towards success and in a career that will cradle you for the rest of your life. So my thing is that nursing, to me, nursing is everything. I mean, there's nothing else. What else could you do? All I do is nursing. That's
yeah.
it.
That's not all you do.
So, and the percentage, I know that from an acceptance standpoint, the percentage at Eastern Florida is really low because there's a high you know, there's a high application rate. What's the success rate with people coming into your school? I mean, getting accepted. They have the prerequisites.
100%.
Yes. 100%. Right? 100%. So that's the other thing. For those of you who are out there and you've been denied and not able to have gone to nursing school, this is your chance. This is like an open chance for you to come in and not get disappointed for all the hard work
and
that you did
accepted.
To put in. And get
somebody
accepted.
Sit with you and lead you
That's
through the
right.
process.
Right.
You know, the thing is, I lived in Indiana, and I lived in Chicago, and I live here in Florida, and I never was without a job. Mm-hmm. I mean, as an LPN working in a nursing facility there, people are living longer. They're always going to need people to take care of people in nursing homes. And I know we have this thing where you can get one license for all 50 states.
Yes,
so talk a little bit about that, because it used to be you had to go from state to state to get your licensure, but now you don't have to.
Yes, when I came to Florida, we had to do reciprocity. But now you can have a multi-state license, which means that you can travel in different states to work in those different states. You don't have to apply for a new license. And
yeah.
That's great.
Yeah,
but
it's only a few states that is not participating, settle. Like California is one. They do not participate, so you have to apply individually for California.
So give us your website for our listeners who are tuning in, and a way for them to contact you all so they can start thinking about it and send you an email.
Absolutely. You can look at our email, our website, e3educationalservices.com. That's e3educationalservices.com. You can give us a call, 321-586-5852, 321-586-5852. You can email us at e3educationalservices@gmail.com. Mm-hmm.
And you know, Ellen, as a nurse, whoever chooses to become an LPN or an RN or even a nurse practitioner, whatever it is, they're in trusted company, because nurses have a long-held reputation of being not just compassionate healers, but consistently, nurses have a reputation of being honest and ethical and putting 100% of their being into their patients. There isn't anyone that goes into nursing just because they just want to do something. They do it because they love people. Mm-hmm. And you're right, Dr. Hull, because during COVID-19, I worked in a COVID unit for 4 months. And our patients was the thing that kept all of us going, to take care of them. And because we love them, and we want people to see that nursing, and you know, nursing is a blessing. When you're a nurse, you're blessed.
Yes.
And you know, when my mother was in the United States, she would bless my nursing uniform every day when I put it on. And she would say, God, thank you for making my daughter a nurse and for allowing her to go into a nursing home to take care of the most vulnerable, which is the elderly. Because a lot of nurses don't want to work in a nursing home or an ALF. They want you to, you know, ICU and whatever. But you have a choice, right?
Nursing is nursing.
Nursing is nursing. You have a choice.
The same knowledge you need in a hospital is the same knowledge you need in a long-term care facility.
Even more so now, because you're seeing those patients are changing. It's not just the old.
They're sicker.
Well, we appreciate you, too. And, boy, what an endeavor. I mean, it's like, wow. This is great. Because
this is going to be one of those success stories that is going
to
be like on.
Be opened. And when I heard about it and I saw Tiffany, she's teaching at the school? Yes. It's awesome.
So once again, another action-packed show for people to take action items, right, away from the show today, because there's lots of good information that we shared. The show will be shared once again on cdmmediainc.com in just a few days. You can get it on 1510 WWBC. Thank you again. Another edition of Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. We'll see you next Monday.